No, I do want to say that I thought the last episode was awesome.
Thank you.
So, well, good work, guys.
It's it's good to do something without you.
Yeah.
did that come out the right way? I don't know.
It depends. It came out like how I imagine Lee saying it.
Sessionable.
All right. Welcome, everybody, to Sessionable. And welcome back, Tom.
Thank you, yeah.
Back.
Yeah, thanks for letting me back.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you did after how good the last episode turned out. I think, is this the first time it's been the four of us as regular hosts?
I think so, yeah.
I think going by our scheduling skills, it might be the last time with the four of us as well.
Quite possibly.
Yeah, possibly. Well, last time for a while.
Yeah.
Don't rule anything out. Yeah. So this is a bit of a general catch-up episode. We've got a few things to talk about, a few beers to drink, a few big beers to drink. That's,
We did Sessionable.
Yeah, I think the lowest is 9 and the highest is 11.2.
Yeah, so there's four of them. So it's, yeah, they're all...
So this is the unsessionable episode. Yeah,
yeah, the one unsessionable episode. the single.
All right, so what are we drinking, guys?
So this is the La Rules Beer de Gorme, La Grande 10. So yeah, I assume it's kind of a... Beer de Garde, triple-ish. It's kind of somewhere in between, I'd say.
Like 10% Beer de Garde.
Beer de Garde,
it's pretty good.
And golden and strong in somewhere close to a triple.
It's actually like tasting light on for a 10% beer.
For 10%, yeah. It doesn't have that kind of that weight that you'd almost expect from a 10% Belgian beer. Mm. It finishes quite light and dry and easy.
Do you get that sort of that apricotty sort of
going
on? But on the nose, there's definitely a bit more something different.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah.
A bit more weight than a triple here on the nose. But yeah, so it's a 2013 vintage, according to the side of the bottle as well.
So. Oh, okay, cool. Nice. So it's got a year and a bit on it. That's it's tasting really good.
I think the alcohol comes through a bit in the sweetness that you get on it. But like you say, you wouldn't expect 10%,
and it doesn't linger too much either. That sweetness, that's really really tasty, right?
Yeah. Cool. So, what did you guys think of the Hottest 100 results?
Yeah, let's start with that.
Just want to say, called it.
Well done. You really went out on a limb. You said Hop-Hog number one, Stonewood number
there were,
two.
There were a lot of doubters.
You can see into the future.
There were a lot of doubters around this table thinking that it wasn't going to pan out that way.
I'm not on record as this, but I was with you. I thought, but I could just be saying that.
Yeah, you could. Yeah.
I mean, will there ever be a point where Hop-Hog gets taken off number one?
Yeah, I think it's inevitable.
There will.
But
people will get bored of it.
Does it get to the point where they just go, "You're not allowed to enter anymore"?
It depends on how big it gets, right?
Just like Joy Division or something.
Yeah.
It's like Taylor Swift.
Too soon.
Too soon.
The scar is still fresh, man.
Well, I think I did pretty well. I called obviously the Hop-Hog 1, Stonewood 2. I also thought that there was a chance that the Four Pines Pale. Might push as high as two. Actually, I thought it might push Stone and Wood down, but it pushed little creatures
away. And so you're already seeing that top three, which has been the same for a while, change up a bit with Four Pines entry.
Yeah.
So that's
unfortunately for you, Liam, your prediction of
summer 2 years in a row,
not the year of summer ale.
Actually, I was actually really surprised that it didn't have any growth.
It dropped.
Yeah.
But like for good reason, because we saw 777 make number 6, which is
exciting.
I was pretty happy about that.
Yeah, there was not even in the top 10. I mean, like stuff like the Admiral Akbar from Fortitude.
Yeah,
that rated I think 15 or around there somewhere.
15 was Modus Operandi Form 10.
It was definitely in the top 20.
I remember that.
It was high up.
I guess
there's a little bit of locality coming into play there. So, you know, you'd get the Queensland vote there.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that was on tap here at the Forest Lodge, right?
Yeah. I think they got pretty decent distribution.
Yeah, but that was the only place in Sydney I saw it on tap. And that was, like, voting was already open by the time that came on tap. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's done pretty well.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Again, I was impressed with how well the former tenant did for being such a new beer to market. to get 15th.
Yeah, but I mean,
I guess like if it won like the champion beer at the CBIA awards, then
it's kind of going to push it up,
put it in people's minds. Yeah,
I mean, we talked on a previous episode the fact that everyone had it on tap at one stage here, and I would imagine there would have been some interstate going as well. Yeah. So that makes sense.
And I think one of the real boons to Motors has been the Cannimals.
Yeah,
I just had a Cannimal of former tenant yesterday, and it held up well. That candy machine is just fucking amazing.
Well, what was the time between it getting candy?
It was a few days, but like I heard that's how they sent their beers to the beer awards, and it was tasting as fresh as it was the day it was poured. So
I have a Cannimal in my fridge that I got on Christmas Eve. So it'll be interesting to see.
That's not very kosher. Yeah.
No, but it'll be interesting. It's not. It's not a former tenant. It's. I think it's the saison. But
I think it's going to be fine because they overfill it. So, yeah.
There's not a lot of air. There's no oxygen.
When they put the cap on.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's sealed. And it's airtight.
It's a better seal than a growler.
Yeah.
So
it's supposed to last that long, right?
Yeah, I think so.
It's supposed to last really long.
What do they recommend as far as?
Oh, they recommend it like 3 months as quick as possible. But yeah. They, 3 months is like, the kind of the.
Yeah.
All right. Really? Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah, but they recommend that, like, look, if you can have it this week, have it this week. Like, that's the best way to do it. But yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, so I finally went there the other day.
It's really nice.
I still haven't been.
Pretty cool. I think.
No, I need to go.
Going by myself diminished it a bit. Like, I think if you hang out with a few people,
because I think the first time we went, it'd be pretty cool. Did you come?
No, I haven't been. So
we went in a big group from Nomad to there.
Yeah,
okay.
I had to leave.
That's right. You both had to leave, I think.
Yeah.
And that turned out really well. It was great having a group there. It was I think it was a Sunday, and so the place was actually quite full.
Yeah.
There was a really nice local community vibe.
Yeah.
I think there was an acoustic, a person playing acoustic guitar, and there were some families sitting outside, and people sitting inside having good drinks, and the place was full but not like too busy.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah. So I mean, like, that helps. I could see that place to be like a cool hangout, like afternoon hangout.
Yeah, like if I lived in Mona Vale, I would be there every day. I think like that would be my Mona Vale bit of you.
Yeah, I think like for me, It's a bit too far. Like, it took me an hour and a half to get there, so it's a bit too far for me to go to
on a regular basis.
On a regular basis, even a semi-regular basis. But
it's good to have those places.
I can see the place being really cool.
Yeah.
I think it's cool to have those places that little bit far away that you can make a bit of a day of it.
Yeah. I go up there fairly regularly because my grandfather lives up there. So it's like, I drive past it all the time.
Yeah, that
so
helps.
It's like, just pop in, say hi to the boys, get some Cannimals, and then
I think other than the former tenant, which is easily their best beer, I think the one that I really liked when I was there was the Lola, their summer ale.
The summer ale is really
tasty. Really, really had that one.
Really solid.
I mean, for me, I think the other than former tenant and Zoo Feeder, because I do like Zoo Feeder a lot. The pepper in the rye saison is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I really like that.
I've had that before, but it wasn't on when I was there. Yeah.
Because it's just super peppery. And it really is tasty.
Their petite saison is really good as well.
Speaking of saisons and hottest 100s, Praline, well, not saison, but La Sirene do saison. So that's where the segue happens.
It's your little segue.
Praline number five got in
top five.
I think it highlights the importance of Gabs and the increasing importance of Gabs in the hottest 100. I think I counted 3 beers from Gabs were actually made the top 100 this year.
Yeah.
And it can only get more influential once Gabs comes to Sydney this year as well.
Oh, yeah, of course.
I wouldn't be surprised to see, another Gabs beer in the top 5 next year, whatever it may be, and the caliber of stuff being brewed for Gabs as well is just.
But I think it's also because it wasn't just a Gabs one-off and then not done again. They re-released Praline and they packaged it and they kegged it and they sent it to Sydney and they sent it around Melbourne and I assume to Brisbane, probably got a keg or two as well.
Yep.
But I think Praline is also filling that kind of that vacuum of when the Temptress was in the top 10.
Yeah, it's
and then,
that.
And then the following years, they kind of dialed down on...
Yeah, it was just pale ales and...
No, well, I think Holgate dialed down the recipe of...
Oh, okay.
...of Temptress, and it wasn't as kind chocolatey.
I can
it kind of dropped out of the top 10, and it's still a pretty good beer, but then Praline comes in, and it's just this massive vanilla bomb.
Yeah, chocolatey. And
so you're saying that there's always going to be a space in the top 10 for a sweet stout?
Well, not necessarily, but it's that kind of really bold type of beer.
Yeah.
And
certainly stands out.
I mean, it just happens to be very similar.
I think it's quite approachable, especially for people who aren't beer drinkers or whatever.
I think so as well. But I think, like, it was the same reaction I had to the first Temptress.
I agree. I get you. Because Temptress was definitely a bold beer, but it was also I'm not trying to talk it down or anything. It's still a great beer. But I think you gave me my first Temptress, Liam, and I drank that. I was like, fuck, this is awesome.
Mm.
And it was bold and it was big and it was nothing I'd tasted before. Because I think the only stout I'd had at that time was Guinness and maybe the Cooper's Dark, not even Cooper's Extra Stout. Oh, no, I would have had Cooper's Extra Stout at that point, but still, like, it's nothing like it.
Yeah.
So it was big and bold and different. But still super drinkable. I think Praline does the same thing.
It was good to see quite a few of the Gabs beers again after the event. I actually voted for 4 Gabs beers in my top 5 this year.
Yeah, cool.
I've had some great stuff there, and all of which I had again since Gabs. I didn't just base it on the sample on the day. They all managed to come around and be not just a couple, but actually quite a few venues in Sydney as well. So it's good to see that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But we talked Modus. There were other new breweries in there as well that made a real big impression. Kaiju being the most notable, I think.
They cleaned up, man.
In terms of like appearances for a new brewery, they did a really good job, and well done to them because they deserved it.
Yeah, definitely.
Did they get the most beers in the top 100?
No, they didn't. No, they were near the top.
Was it Mountain Goat again?
It could have been Mountain Goat.
Mountain Goat's done it a few. I'll get up that infographic that.
That
Crafty Pint did.
Producers looking it up.
Cool.
Because there was some interesting facts on that.
I was really happy that Shenanigans got number 40.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, well done. Yeah, yeah, well earned.
And they seem to be riding that as well. You know, the beer's everywhere at the moment in Sydney. Yeah. Loads of venues have got it. Great to see Winston and their other stuff around in loads of different places as well. And again, Winston's tasting fabulous at the moment.
It's one of those beers that is in there because it's a good beer,
yep,
rather than because it's a good beer and it has good distribution.
Yep, I agree.
And I think the 777 is another case of that, where you probably only could get that here in Victoria and maybe Queensland.
I mean, that made it up to the Hop Festival in Victoria.
Yeah.
At Ale House Project.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And that, I think, got some really, really good feedback from there. Because that, I think, for Victorians, that's a beer that they'd heard a lot of hype about that you hadn't had a chance to try till then.
I think with 777, though, Riverside sort of cut their own throats in terms of other votes. 77 dropped quite sharply, and I think that stole a lot. You know, the 777 stole a lot from 77 votes, and even 44 to some extent as well.
But that's what Doc was saying in the last episode, right? Like, it's when you've got that many good beers,
it's almost
hard to be the best, you know?
Yeah, and that's why it's so impressive that Kaiju made so many spots.
Mm. So,
most definitely.
Real-time follow-up on that, Kaiju got 4 spots, which is the same as Lasse Wren also got 4 spots. That's really impressive.
Including their Cherry Creek was in there, and I think that only made it to something like 2 venues, or there was only 3 or 4 cases made of it.
One in Sydney, one or 2 venues in Sydney.
One in Sydney, 2 in Victoria, and one ended up in Singapore, I heard, as well. So
there you go.
That's not a lot of beer to make the top.
And other breweries that got 4, Little Creatures, 4 Pines, Holgate, and 2 Birds.
Mm.
So they're in good company, Kaiju and Lasse Wren. Mountain Goat did win again this year with 7.
Wow.
7. And then Feral and Stone and Wood both had 6.
Okay.
I'm impressed that Stone and Wood had so many.
They didn't even have that many beers in a year. But
they do have a lot of beers, but they're mostly known for the Pacifica.
They had the only lager in the top 100 as well was from Stone and Wood.
It's a solid lager, man.
I didn't know that.
It was the only, because there were 99 ales and 1 lager. Yeah.
I'm surprised, actually, in terms of lagers, I'm surprised the Beer Geek Rage Quit didn't make it into the top 100, because I know that was a very popular beer.
All right, yeah. Some other quick stats about it. I'm stealing all this from the infographic that
Crafty
Point put up. So 23 beers from New South Wales. Down, it was 24 last year.
Were we still the highest state?
No.
Weren't we the highest state last year?
No, we weren't.
I'm just pulling out my answer.
I was disappointed that Doc didn't get anything.
Yeah, that was a big surprise to me. Yeah. As well. I thought, yeah,
as it was talking about the last episode, I think he just brewed too many beers. And yeah, he wasn't available enough. So, yeah.
But I thought with like P12 and Zephyr in the bottle, one of those would have placed.
Yeah, yeah. I think this coming year might one of the bottled ones might.
Yeah. There were 7 Gabs beers in the 100.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Don't know which ones I missed then.
According to this. the most popular style was pale ale and then IPA. So 20 pale ales, 18 IPAs.
Wow.
14, they've called them session ales, which is like golden ales, cultures, summer ales, and that kind of.
Yeah.
7 ambers and reds. There were 4 imperial stouts.
Wow.
And 5 double IPAs. So that's,
And 1 watermelon warhead.
4 fruit spice flavored beers. So that's
So that counts, yeah.
Yeah.
In general, I think,
6 red IPAs.
That's so happy that watermelon warhead made it. Even though it was like 33.
Apparently it didn't make it the year before. I thought it had done, but it said,
I don't think
said
it
new
did
entry.
Because it wasn't as available the previous year.
I seem to remember that now, actually, thinking about it.
But watermelon warhead's been on before, though, hasn't it?
So the year before it was top 10
the year before that.
Okay, cool.
And then it slipped out entirely last year.
Because it wasn't around.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think in general, I see the hottest 100 this year as positive moves in the right direction. From the beer geek in us, we can see some of the
big boys dropping hold a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
That said, though, there was a lot of new entries for Squires in there this year.
Nathan had 9 beers in total in the Hottest 100, which is, that's a lot.
But Chancellor was in there, wasn't in there the year before. Yeah. 150 Lashes made its debut in there as well. So.
That's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really good tool just to see where consumers are at the moment. And, even in something like this voting in the Hottest 100, we're still somewhat of a minority of the beer drinkers. There's still some mainstream beers making it in there.
I think it's actually a good sign that so many Lion beers made it in, because it means that more people are knowing about this poll.
Yeah, yeah.
And are getting into different beers.
Yeah.
And, I assume if they voted in it, they're going to at least look at the results.
Yeah.
There's some interesting beers they might not have heard of.
Do they release the numbers of voters each year? Do we know how many people?
They normally do, yeah. There's normally a breakdown.
Oh, I don't think there's usually a breakdown. They often say there were, X thousand.
Yeah, I'd like to know how many more if there were more this year than last year.
I believe they said before the voting closed that this year had been the record, which they say every year. Yeah. So it grows and grows every year.
Good.
But I'd be interested to see state by state as far as number of votes as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think I'd be interested to see. I remember someone recommended it, proposed this on Twitter. I was thinking about it, and I think it's not a bad idea to just a little bit more data. It doesn't have to affect the results or anything, but just a question: when you vote, is this your first year voting? Because I think that's a good way. And if they release data, then it shows. Who are the new people and what are they drinking compared to,
Where are they buying their beers from?
True.
I think a optional survey would be handy.
I think that'd be interesting.
You don't have to do it, but if you want to, exit polls. This is sounding way too kind of complicated.
No, I just find it really interesting.
Well, but all you need is just a few questions. They can already pretty much figure out your state.
Yeah.
Right.
They'll get that off your IP address.
Yeah, your IP address. Yeah. So you don't need to put that in. And then, have you voted before? Maybe just a scale of 1 to 5, how much of a beer geek would you say you are?
Mm.
Something like that,
Not sure about that.
I don't know, but just something like
how often do you drink beer?
From 1 being, I'll have a Stone and Wood or a Little Creatures every so often, to 5 being, I regularly host a podcast about craft beer.
I'll happily pay X amount for a one-off brew.
Yeah, that's air freighted from...
how many... Segway. Top question is, how many Stone Enjoyable IPAs have you consumed in the last week? Or
How many Pappy Van Winkle assassins do you have?
Did you listen to that?
I did listen to it.
We'll get to that at the end. I that's mine. You can't take that.
No, I'm not taking it.
Good. So that's a good segue to what we're going to drink next.
Yeah.
Which
is the Pappy Van Winkle Assassin. Oh, awesome.
Oh, no? Man, I wish. No.
Can we just drink a bottle of Pappy Van Winkle?
Yeah. Oh, do you have one?
Maybe.
That face.
Yeah.
You're like,
not on me.
Yeah. Why not? Why don't you just carry it around with you?
Huh? Just in break in case of emergencies. Yeah. Yeah.
Sessionable.
You have in your hands a devastatingly fresh double IPA. Freshness is a key component of many beers, especially big hoppy IPAs, but we've taken it further. A lot further.
No, you didn't.
We brewed this IPA specifically not to last. We've gone to extensive lengths to ensure you get your hands on this beer within an extraordinarily short window, and we sent a very clear message in the name of the beer itself that there is no better time than right now to enjoy this IPA.
Extensive length.
This is the Little Creatures IPA we're having right now. right?
Yeah.
Right?
Fucking expensive Little Creatures.
that's the blurb on the back of the Stone Enjoy By
February 14, 2015.
Yeah.
IPA.
It's going to be like the 2nd or the 14th. There's no 14th month. I don't.
Lousy smudge weather.
So this weighs in at a paltry 9.4%.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it's not as boozy as the last one.
No.
More of just a palate cleanser, right? Yeah.
Take it back.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What is this, a podcast about sessionable beers?
Yeah.
I'm just getting tingly feelings when I smell.
Well, I thought I'd bring this one because I think we talked about it a little bit last time at Doc, and at that point I hadn't had one yet.
Yeah.
I rectified that pretty quickly. But
it shows how fresh that episode was.
Mm. Yeah.
This is still
fresh.
It's still within code.
Yeah. I mean, that episode had a 30-day expiry, right?
Yeah, that's right. We're going to delete it in 30 days. Yeah, that's right. How was your trip to the US, by the way?
Did you go to the US, Tom?
I went to the US.
Didn't notice you with your Mikola San Francisco shirt.
Oh, what, this?
Yeah.
So I was gallivanting around California, drinking beer and doing some other stuff,
seeing parks and recreation.
Yeah, and also watching Parks and Recreation on Netflix. So
a laptop while sitting in a redwood.
Pretty much, yeah.
Park, yeah.
I actually was walking through the redwood forests listening to the last episode of Sessionable. Cool. So that was...
What a waste of...
We've gone international.
Yeah! One download from overseas. Yeah.
I went to a bunch of breweries, as you do.
Right. As you do.
It was pretty amazing. There's some, I don't think I need to tell anyone this, is when it comes to news, but they've got a really awesome scene over there. It is some amazing beer all over the place.
American beer thing.
Yeah.
It's like coming up, right?
Yeah, I think it's going to catch on.
Yeah. What was your favorite brewery?
I think it's a toss up for me between...
Budweiser.
Yeah, Budweiser or Miller. I can't really. No, it was. We'll get onto that in a sec.
Chasing scale. Yeah. All about scale.
All about that scale. Yeah.
It's all about that Beechwood.
Yeah. I think it's a toss up between the brewery and Russian River.
Okay.
Yeah. In terms of my favorite tap rooms.
Two great choices.
Yeah. But I also loved the Rare Barrel.
I didn't go there.
In Berkeley.
When I was last there, and I kind of wished.
That was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
The other one that I thought was really great, I went to, I was skiing for a week at Mammoth Mountain, and they have a brewing company there, Mammoth Brewing Company.
Yep.
And their tap room was really cool. They had some really, really great beers. They had a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout.
Oh, as you do.
As you do. I think everyone does.
It's like a requirement.
You do a lager, an IPA, and then a bourbon barrel aged imperial stout. They did an ice bock, which I guess when you are a brewery in a skiing town,
That makes sense.
It was really cool. And it was a really tasty one. Very much along the lines of a traditional ice bock, that very German flavored bock. Just stronger and sharper, just iced. Yeah, yeah. And they had some great IPAs. They had a super fresh one that had just come out of the tanks, and fresh IPA is pretty good, guys. I don't know if you'd know that.
Mm. I've heard it's best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like this is what I think of this at the moment. Like it's still.
This is degrading from last time I've had it though.
It's degrading.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's still tasting really good.
I think it's still super awesome. Fresh. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love how the lengths they went to get this to Australia to launch it at the same time. I didn't actually have it when I was overseas, but...
Did you see it around when you were in the States?
Not really. But if I was looking for it, I probably would have seen it a bit more.
Did you go to any, like, Whole Foods or...
Not really. There wasn't... Stores? Because the problem is, like, it was a bit hard for me to bring too much back, and I'd picked up a few things at a few places to bring back, one of which we'll have in a... When we finish this.
In a moment. But you went with your family, so you had like at least like 6 or 7 suitcases.
Yeah, but trying to convince my family, it's like, yeah, put this bottle of beer in your suitcase. So trust me, it'll be okay. It won't explode. Well, this was also, that's my first time muling ever.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So I was, you know, I didn't want to have like a case of beer that I'm bringing back basically split over the suitcases. It was, I had 4 bottles and that was, you know, as much as I wanted to bring back this time. But
plus the Jack Daniels.
I got that at duty-free in Sydney.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
So, highlights of the trip?
Beer-wise or, well, just in general?
It is a beer podcast. Yeah. So.
Preferably beer, yeah.
Yeah. Definitely going up to Russian River was, yeah, it was quite a trek for me. I didn't have a car when I was there, so to get there, I took the public bus from San Francisco to Santa Rosa, which is a good 3-hour trip there.
Wow.
So, it was a, you know...
That's the dedication, man.
Yeah.
A long time to get thirsty.
Yeah. I was pretty thirsty when I got there. Sat down, had a pint of Pliny and a pizza, and then I had the 20 beer paddle. So that
what
was
a ridiculous paddle.
Yeah,
it was $2 or something?
It was $16.
It was $16, but close.
So I go up to the...
But like, cheaper than a dollar of beer.
Yeah. The waitress comes over and is like, I was like, oh, so what's the deal with the flights? She's like, oh, you can do one of the left chalkboard, or you can do one of the right chalkboard. Or you can do one of both. And I'm like, I know. Because it's like, both is a lot of beer. She's like, the one with both is $16. I'm like, I'll have that, please.
I'll have 5 of those, please.
Did they serve them all at once?
Yeah. I've got a photo. We'll put a photo up on the in the show notes.
I've had that.
How do they take it to
I've had
the
that
table?
As well.
It's like, it's got a, it's a big tray thing.
It's a massive paddle.
It is just insane.
Did stuff get quite warm? I suppose at that time of year it wouldn't have got very warm, would it?
Yeah, no, it was a nice, cool temperature inside. So,
yeah.
Wow, like it's a big.
It's some decent horses. They're like ponies, right?
Yeah. Oh no, they're not quite ponies. They are. They are smaller. So they're about that big. So they're probably about 90 mils of beer.
You're not going to be sober hefty after that.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I on the bus back down, I had to go to the toilet so fucking badly. It was
on
like
a 3-hour bus.
Yeah, you just. I did actually. I stopped halfway at Lagunitas.
Convenient.
Basically, to go to the toilet. Yeah.
Didn't have any beer, right?
Well, look, it'd be rude not to when you're there.
Can I just stop in here and take a piss because I got drunk at another brewery?
I'm sure that happens to them all the time.
And they were like Russian River, right?
Yeah.
So go on.
So tell us a bit about the surroundings in Russian River for someone like me who's never been.
So it's got a real nice, it feels like a nice pub or kind of a, you know, American
it's kind of like
bar.
A, it's like a small townish
kind
of area.
Yeah, Santa Rosa is a pretty small
and
town.
Then there's this kind of, there's this brewery that has a pub. And when I was there a couple of years ago, they had this band playing.
Okay,
there.
Nice.
I think it was a weekend when I went. And yeah, it was like just like a really cool vibe.
Nice. There was a band playing at Lagunitas when I went.
Okay.
Lagunitas was a real cool, that seems like a really cool place to go with friends. And
yeah,
like,
look, Lagunitas.
Hang out, yeah.
Massive hangout joint.
Yeah, that's what that seems like.
Probably a massive joint as well.
I think they got in trouble years ago. I'm pretty sure this is Lagunitas they were talking about.
Yes.
But they got in trouble because the staff were... The cops tried to get to bust all the staff for selling weed, but they couldn't bust them because they weren't taking money for it. They were just giving weed to all the customers.
And they made a beer in honor of that as well. I can't remember the name of it.
So that was
put that in the show notes.
Other highlights were the Michelob Bar in San Francisco.
Yep.
Again, I'm kind of wearing it on my chest a bit.
Literally.
That was a fantastic bar. Just like exactly what I wanted a beer bar. I didn't go downstairs to the Tivoli room, I think is what their sour room's called. But I had all the same beers.
Yeah.
It was just because I wasn't there when that room
Michelob
was
Bar's
open.
Really cool.
Yeah,
Michelob
Did you drag your family to any of these places?
No, I dragged my dad to the Mammoth Brewing tap room, but not nowhere else.
Your brothers can't drink.
No, my brother, the oldest of my two brothers, who are over 18, is 20.
Yeah,
and the other's just turned 18.
That's just cruel.
It's kind of like, why would you even go?
Did you bring them back bottles to the hotel room?
He didn't. That's
what? Oh, come on,
cock block like a motherfucker.
You're the worst brother ever.
I don't really like beer.
Okay,
like,
fair enough.
And we did, like, I did bring some six packs back in Mammoth. I brought some six packs back of the Sierra Nevada Celebration, as well as the Mammoth Brewing stuff. And so, no, they had some of that. So it wasn't for the whole trip.
You didn't want to break the law or anything.
No.
Yeah.
Because you've never done that before.
Never. As we discussed on, I think it was our second episode, I had never even had an American beer before I was 21. So, because it was illegal, isn't it?
That's what they said.
Yeah.
So, how did you enjoy the fresh Budweiser over there?
Oh, yeah, Budweiser. Yeah. Because I had a lot of Budweiser.
Yeah.
I didn't have any Budweiser.
Proudly macro.
Yeah, proudly macro. Brewed the hard way. Yeah.
What a great segue.
Yeah, into the... It's our next topic.
So just to date where we are, yesterday was Super Bowl
49. Next year will be Super Bowl L. Because it's Super Bowl 50, so it's just going to be an L. Super Bowl L. Super Bowl L.
Isn't 49 just like one L or whatever it is?
X.
Just stupid.
It'd be XX. No. I don't know.
Okay.
There was X's involved.
Oh, no, because it's XL for 40.
Yeah.
And then IX for 9, isn't it? Is that
clicks.
XLIX, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's right, isn't it?
I don't know.
I haven't done
for a long
whatever.
Cut this out.
So, disappointment of yesterday. Well, Tom and I went to the Royal Albert because they had a bit of a Super Bowl party on.
Hmm.
To get drunk early in the morning, and any time it's acceptable to have a beer before 10 o'clock is fine by me.
Yep.
The place was packed.
Yeah, disappointment was they didn't show any of the Super Bowl ads because it was on Channel 7.
Yeah, they're not allowed.
So,
right?
Yeah, we didn't get any of the Super Bowl ads, but obviously the point of discussion is the Budweiser ad, which took a pretty big smack to the balls for the craft beer industry, I guess, in particular certain breweries. But,
yeah, so let's describe the ad for people who haven't seen it. We'll put in the show notes.
It's a strange ad because it's like it is very reminiscent of some of the ads that I've seen from Sierra Nevada, for example, or it's just like really nice cinematography of
the style of the ad was actually really well.
And it's actually, I thought the best bits of the ad, like for me, the bits that looked the best in the ad were the bits with craft beer. I don't know, but that's I have a bias. But the people like shot bits were
like the people discussing beer and like
and then the guy had
beer,
the snifter of a stout and he's putting his nose right in there. It's like,
I like how all of them had like beards or trimmed mustaches.
None of that came off as overly like they could have done a bit more to make it seem like a bad thing.
Yeah,
I think
no, it didn't seem bad at all. But it was just basically like
that's what they were portraying it as.
Yeah,
like, you know. Craft beer.
It was
like
the text
wanky.
That was more
and then it's just like giant all caps, all bold text that's saying like
sans serif.
Yeah, you know, Budweiser is proudly a macro beer, it's brewed the hard way, it's for people who
that's just stupid though,
who
isn't
like
it?
Like beer them. And don't like, you know, what's the word? They used a word like dissecting, I think they
said. Yeah, something like that.
You know, I guess
basically, what they're saying is you could either sit there and like talk
you
about.
You can drink your beer, or you can sip your pumpkin peach ale.
Yeah,
or whatever
they're saying Budweiser is not a beer for people who have a beer podcast.
Like, if you want to get drunk, you drink Budweiser. If you want to actually talk about what you're drinking, you drink something else.
Yeah.
Basically.
And what's quite like, I guess, funny, but it's also it'd be annoying for certain people, is that Anheuser-Busch, maybe InBev, recently bought a craft brewing company, Elysian, who do a pumpkin peach ale, and they called out that specific style, and that's actually something that Elysian's kind of proud of, that beer that they've done. And
it's a weird move, eh?
It's a weird
move. And they saw the ad and they were like, what the fuck, bro?
Yeah, like dude, you could have given us some warning or like
and there was some pretty hardcore like Tony Abbott like backpedaling on Twitter from Budweiser Twitter account.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But I think that ad was actually brilliant.
So do I.
I think it's brilliant.
Well, because we're talking about Budweiser on a craft beer podcast.
It's not just us, but like every single craft craft beer fan on Twitter was mentioning Budweiser.
Yeah.
It's like. Yeah. There's like that's the best advertisement they could get.
Look, we've complained about beer marketing on this podcast before. I think we're all pretty vocal about when it's really bad.
That was good.
And this is not the worst at all. And this isn't it's not a bad ad. It's just it is a weirdly hypocritical ad. Basically,
it's a good troll, I think.
I agree.
I think they've done it well. Yeah. They've balanced it really well. Yeah.
But
it's not our opinion. But it's,
we've got to bear in mind that the macro brewers do, take a lot of shit as well from the craft beer
community. At some point,
they're gonna kick back, right? Yeah, and I actually think that this was actually, as you say, it was quite well done. Mm.
Yeah.
I appreciated it.
Yeah, it was good fun.
But
yeah.
It's obvious we're not the target market, so we've got to understand that. And it's not, it's not an ad for us. It's never going to convince us. It's like, I was doing it wrong the whole time. Why am I dissecting my beer? I should just drink it.
But then I'm sure there were people who were watching that going like, fuck yeah, man, those pussies and their fancy beers. Yeah. I'm just going to slow them down some buds. America! Leo, producer, just mentioned, which was like something, maybe because I had too many beers yesterday, I forgot, was the Australian telecast, they pummeled the Van Damme Calls ad hard.
There was
three different ones.
Yeah. What?
So Van Damme's like the new face for Coors. So it's Australian televised ads because Coke has
not
Coors
seen
those here.
I didn't know this.
Yeah, so there was all these series of ads of like Van Damme in like the full double denim out in some like Rocky Mountain snowfield.
Like there's one where there's just like a beautiful pristine shot of just like snow on a mountain, and then he just like pops out of the snow with a cause in hand.
This sounds amazing.
Wearing the Canadian tuxedo and everything.
It's a good campaign.
Man,
it's,
I want a cause right now. Yeah. I haven't even seen the ad.
He had a mad mullet too. Mullet. Yeah,
it was. But they were hammering those ads. They were
every single ad break that one that had a cause ad,
if not more than one of them. It was that was
sessionable,
and we're back.
We're back after the halftime show.
No kidding, we watched the Super Bowl halftime show.
I'm team Left Shark.
same. So Left Shark all the way.
Yeah.
That was the most amazing thing of all time.
You didn't even see I didn't show you the end where Katy Perry rides around the stadium, like, on a star.
Singing Firework,
I'm pretty sure Kanye West was watching it, and he said, no, yeah, that's probably the best thing ever.
I'll let her finish.
Yeah.
We're drinking a beer that I brought back with me. I brought two beers back from these guys, I brought this one back because I was sitting at the tap room, and I had they had 25 beers on tap, and
I've been to that tap room.
I worked my way through all of them.
I hope that was the only one you did that day.
Oh, yeah. Well, so that day, I woke up early in the morning, went to Disneyland.
Yes.
Spent the whole day at Disneyland.
Okay.
And then went to the brewery.
Did you go to Space Mountain?
I go to Space
Mountain? Of course you went to Space Mountain.
Did I go to Space Mountain? Yeah. Come on.
That is the correct way around to do it.
I went to the brewery and then I went to Disneyland.
Although
Space Mountain is closed for yesterday, just with Ozzy and go to the brewery beforehand.
They wouldn't even know if I painted the walls in there.
So how far is the brewery from
It's in Anaheim, right?
It's in the same
It's in the same area. It's like in Orange County. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it is probably walking distance from Disneyland to the brewery, but it'd be a long walk, and also actually in Disneyland, not in Disneyland, but in the California Adventure Park, which is, there's two parks there, and you can get a ticket that lets you go to both of them, and there's a bunch of rides at both. In the California Adventure Park, they do serve alcohol. There's an area, and it's styled after the town of Radiator Springs from Cars, and like looks exactly the same. And you go into like the 50s style diner, and they've got Race of Five on tap.
So, oh, nice. Yeah.
I was like, sweet, I can get in. Have a nice, I was actually really impressed.
What's the theme park price for Razor 5?
It wasn't too bad. I think it was about $7 or $8 for the, it was in a plastic cup. But it was about, it was still a US pint. So it was good.
At Disneyland.
At Disneyland. Man. But the brewery. So that's what we're drinking. So we're drinking the triple Tonnellari. Because when I had this on tap there, I just thought it was just fucking delicious.
So for those not in the know, who are the brewery and where, how did they come about?
So the brewery, they're actually a fellow to like a relatively recent brewery. I think they opened in 2008.
Oh.
Yeah, so fairly recent.
Fairly recent, yeah. Not, you know.
That's recent.
Super recent, but they're one of the big players in that kind of area around Los Angeles.
And do they specialize in sort of like a funkier farmhouse sour style?
They don't do an IPA.
Yeah.
The closest you get, I think, is their Imperial Lager.
But they do a Bourbon Imperial Stout, though, right?
I'm pretty sure. They do multiple.
They do a very famous one called Black Tuesday.
Black Tuesday, yeah. Which was not on tap when I went there, but there was one called there was another one called there was something Tuesday. It was
Ooh, really?
So it's Tuesday or something. Mm. Something like that, which was just that was really nice. And they had that two different versions. They had a variant with cacao and so happens it's Tuesday was the one I was thinking of.
So not everything's sour?
Not everything's sour, but most things I think end up in barrels. Not everything.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bread.
There's a lot of barrels.
Yeah, a lot of barrels. So this one, the triple Tonnellari, Belgian style triple, fermented in oak barrels. And what I loved about it is that it's a big, fairly to style triple, but then it's just got a nice, it's got a hint of tart to it that just, really tickles my fancy.
Just takes it to another dimension. Yeah. I think it's beautiful. Yeah. Really do.
It's like a triple and an alambic in one almost. It's got that real Cantillon sort of oakiness.
But with that big, there is still a lot of that spiciness and that kind of sweetness from a triple.
Yeah. Beautiful beer.
Yeah. So their tap room was definitely one of my highlights.
That was like probably if I had to pick one highlight of my trip, that was my highlight.
So I was really lucky when I was there because I was by myself. I'd go up and sit at the bar, and some bars, in fact, most bars, you'd be lucky and people would talk to you. It was really nice. And the brewery was probably where the people were the friendliest of anywhere I went. The guys on either side of me were both members of their Reserve Society, and one of them was a member of their Hoarders Society, which is like the next
the super,
level,
the super
like
reserve,
the super
super big, reserve.
And let me try all the special beers that were on tap you can only try if you're a member of the society.
So basically, there's like certain beers that not everyone can get.
Yeah, like they're on tap, but you can only get them if you're a member.
Wow.
And how do you qualify to become a member?
By buying a lot of beer,
enough beers. Yeah. Like you have to like become a member of the society where you buy bottle beers as a part of a subscription.
Yeah.
And if you buy enough of that, you get the next level. And then if you buy enough of that, you get
the
next
level.
Level.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's not particularly easy to do.
Mm. It's a commitment.
It's a commitment, and for the most part, it is locals who can afford to drive to the brewery and get it from them.
But if you live in that area, any one of us would
easily qualify. They ship statewide as well.
Yeah.
So you can do it within the state.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a commitment. I don't think any of us are saying it's a hardship at all.
Yeah. But definitely a commitment. It's like, damn, I got to drink all this brewery beer to drink more brewery beer.
I could sit and drink this every day.
Yeah.
This is delightful.
This is, yeah.
Yeah.
So what was the other beer of theirs you brought back?
That's a pretty special one. It's the Melange Number 1.
Okay.
So
what's that?
Nice.
I think it's a blend of Black Tuesday and something else. Their Oud Tart or something.
I've had the Melange 2, and that was really good.
I think you brought it to a bottle share once.
Rowan brought a Melange 6, I think.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think
have they got up to 6 already?
I think it was 6.
It was
2. So each numbers are just different blends?
Yeah, I think so.
So it's not like a vintage thing. It's like they're all available at the same time.
They're still pretty rare. No, Melange 3, I think. I've had Melange 3 and Melange 8, according to Untappd.
I've had 3, so it would have been 3.
Yeah.
I've had 8 as well. Okay, no.
Yeah, it would have been 8.
Brew share. It would have been 8.
So do the brewers have any pedigree in Belgian stuff, or are they just fanboys of the style? And
that's a good question. I'm not entirely sure of their history before starting the brewery.
Did you meet anyone there or?
Not who was brewing. It was late. You know, it was already quite late into the day. It was just taproom staff there who were still super lovely and willing to have a chat. And, really great. And I thought I'd bring this back to share on the podcast.
Thank you. This is fucking awesome, man.
Very much appreciated. It's a delightful beer.
Yeah. Can bring the next brew beer to the next podcast.
Pardon?
You can bring your next brew beer to the next podcast.
Oh, okay. Can I?
Sure can.
You're committed now.
I have
now.
Your permission. Is that
it's on record. You got to do it now.
You're allowed. Yeah.
He said yes.
Yeah. So I guess like one of the things you noticed over there was that the bar staff were just so much nicer than Australian bar staff, right?
I didn't go to Toronado, so yes.
You did go to Zeitgeist.
So. I did go to Zeitgeist.
Zeitgeist is really cool.
But they were still like... They were still friendly, but they were just like...
Fiery.
Yeah. And, you know, as long as you're cool to them, like, our guy...
It's actually, like, Toronto's is like that as well. Yeah. They're really cool unless you're a dick.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're a dick...
Man,
it's fair enough, isn't it?
They will hit back.
I wish I could.
Yeah, I mean, when I was at Zeitgeist, I saw some dudes getting booted.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's the same in Zeitgeist, yeah.
Yeah, so when I was there, I'm not sure if it's... Yeah, they had, like, some black security guards who looked like they were of some sort of bikey variety. And there was a drunk dude there complaining that they burnt his burger, who was also a black dude, and he said, "Come on, brother, help a brother out." And the guy just smacked him in the face and threw him out the door, like, literally, like, picked him up by his belt and threw him out. So, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But he was being a dick. Yeah, everyone else is cool. So, yeah.
No, yeah, like, if you've read, like, a lot of the... So the Toronado account is a fake account.
Oh, okay.
And they do a lot of posts like how to get a beer at Toronado. And it's like, you just have to be really sensible. Like, you don't stick your hand out going, "Hey, but I want a beer."
I think we're generally not rude customers anyway.
Yeah.
But if you're a rude customer, they will serve you last.
I've
out
served
of
all
everybody.
You guys, so I can be the one who can judge that. Like,
yeah.
And?
I think the three sitting at this table are all right.
Yeah. Ooh. Whoa.
Is that the mute monitor?
Yeah, the producer's about to leave.
Yeah.
No, I don't have a problem. Like, I've almost never had a problem with a beer nerd at the bars I've worked at. There's been some occasionally, but they're usually pretty quick to go, "Oh, if I cause a scene, I won't be allowed back here," and that's usually a bit of a problem for them. They'll go.
Mm.
Yep.
Or they just realise they're being a dickhead and go. Like,
yeah, I don't know if it's just because times I've been to the States, I've been, you know, not with a whole group of people, but I've always found it a lot more comfortable to be at a bar by yourself in the States.
I find that, but at the same
time, there's bars in Sydney where I could
confidently
rock up, and even if I didn't know that anyone else was going to be there, I'd know one of the bar staff and be able to have a chat. But yeah.
We don't need to list off the bars, but we will anyway. I think that's a big reason why we love those bars so much.
Question for you guys: how far are we from having a brewery like the brewery?
A sours based, a sour, or like a.
Well, they're not really sours based. Well, but they're very barrel heavy.
Barrel heavy, and I think fusion.
Yeah, fusion heavy. Yeah,
fusion heavy. I think we're still a few years off.
I
think we'll have one, but I think we're a few years off having one of the level and that has the success of the brewery.
I think at least a few years.
There
is a few people who have barrel programs already underway that we yet to see releases from.
But that's different, right? Though having a brewery that's got a sort of an offshoot arm that does sours is different to
these
guys.
Someone like Feral, who've kept their old brewery that as a barrel.
What about
La
Sorene, though?
Yeah.
That's, almost,
true.
You know, they've got a big barrel program, and that's
true. Maybe that brewery.
There's beers already underway. It's just a matter of when they see the light of day. Yeah. I think Boat Rocker have a few things
they've got a barrel program.
There's a few people with a barrel program. I was at Young Henry's just a few hours ago, and I was talking to Sam, the brewer there.
Yeah.
And she's starting a barrel program there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gave me a sniff of a couple of the barrels.
Oh,
fuck. It's smelling good.
Especially now they're doing spirits. They can do a bit of a...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
So yeah, it is looking promising, but I'm not sure if we're going to see it in the next year or two. Maybe
I think it's the investment to start maybe, a barrel, yeah, maybe in a couple barrel years, program is pretty insane. So for someone to start a brand new brewery as a barrel program would take some serious bank.
Yeah. I mean, look, I would love to see like a brewery like Cascade or Rare Barrel.
Rare Barrel. Yeah. So I was going to mention, I mentioned earlier Rare Barrel, and that was exclusively a sours brewery. And it's a huge warehouse, bigger than any warehouse that I've seen a brewery in Australia. And one corner is the tap room. The other corner, you've got the brew house system, which is the same, you know, same size system as a lot of other places I've seen. And, you know, I didn't see any fermenters. There might have been one or two, but there were just racks and racks and racks and racks of barrels everywhere. It was just like hundreds of barrels. It was quite exciting to see.
Yeah.
And like one of the brewers has to taste all those beers just regularly. Oh, what a terrible job.
What a hardship. I mean, that poor guy.
I hope he's rewarded handsomely.
With Budweiser.
Beechwood stays, bro.
Since 1876.
I am really enjoying this beer. I don't want it to end.
Liam and I were a bit quick.
Yeah, my glass went down a little bit
thanks,
too fast.
Thanks for that beer, man.
Yeah, it's cracking, man.
Really good. Yeah. I'm not sure the beer that I brought will stand up to it, but yeah. We'll get to that after the break.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And
Sessionable.
Before we wrap up, I think the one thing we do want to have a shout out to is just how fucking well the Yeasty Boys crowdfunding equity went.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, like I'm thinking about investing soon. Like that's still going, right?
I hate to break it to you.
About that.
It went in 30 minutes.
30 minutes.
30 minutes. $500,000 in 30 minutes.
Wow.
How many shareholders is that?
Well, there were a dollar a share.
212, but, I believe it was. Okay. Yeah.
All right. So the minimum investment was $500, right? Basically.
Yeah. Wow. Well done to them.
Yeah.
That was. Yeah.
How many days was it meant anything to be open to worry for? About? Was it like 30
I think it was
going to
be open for a month.
Yeah. Up a maximum of 30 days.
So maximum of 30 days. Minimum of, I assume, 30 minutes. 30 right.
Minutes, like, yeah. That's because they held like we. I wanted to talk about it last episode, but we sort of ran out of time. But they were holding a whole bunch of information sessions.
In different cities
and. In New Zealand and all that stuff. So they did a lot of work for it.
Yeah.
Did you guys have a chance to read the... what are they?
The offering document.
Yeah, prospectus. Yeah. They put a lot of work into it, man.
Expanding to the UK sounds like a really cool...
Brewing and Brewdog, man. Yeah.
Brewing and Brewdog. Yeah.
That's pretty exciting.
That is pretty cool.
Yeah. So congrats to the boys, man. Good work. Absolutely. Yeah.
Excited about what this may bring, but also is this open the floodgates then? Because obviously Equity for Punks from Brewdog has actually turned out really well for them. You know, they've managed to expand really quite rapidly in the last couple of years. This has clearly been
a raging success. Right? It's a business model.
I don't know if it's floodgates, but it's definitely something that breweries of that size I think will take more seriously as an option.
But it's not something that will work for everyone.
No.
And like, I think BrewDog at that time and Yeasty Boys, especially now, that where they lie in the love that us beanos have for them, like
they have a cult following.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. Yeah. Didn't Stone do the same thing though?
Yeah, they kind of backfired a little bit.
But they still got it.
So, but theirs wasn't equity. It was more of a regular crowdfunding for a beer club. We should also quickly say what we're drinking.
I haven't even tasted it yet.
Yeah,
so this is the Bridge Road 1000.
It is.
Which we mentioned briefly last time around.
It was Doc's beer recommendation.
It is their 1000th brew.
Yep.
And it is an Imperial Stout.
Their first ever Imperial Stout. Which
Really? 1000th brew in 2014 or overall?
Overall, I think.
Yeah.
I mean... Well, it's 2015, Brad.
So they did there was the 500.
It was released in December, Tom.
There was the 500, right? They did.
Yeah, they did the 500.
Was that the one that had like muesli and?
Yeah, that was the smoky breakfast lager, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that was
pretty good.
That was delicious.
Yeah.
But this is pretty great.
This smells really good.
It's very nice indeed.
Can you imagine this in a couple of barrels of Pappy Van Winkle? Like, because.
I'm really happy I've got to try this, actually. I didn't think I was going to be able to. So.
I didn't think I was either, because I know there is a certain bar I know that has a keg of it, but he's not planning on tapping that keg until I'm off to Germany.
The day after.
Good on him.
I'm pretty sure.
I think that's probably what's going to happen. I think we should do recommendations and then wrap it up.
Yeah, is that sure.
Cool. Do we want to start with non-beer?
Should we actually do non-beer this time,
I think we
Brad?
Should. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm prepared.
He's good to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Who wants to start with non-beer?
Brad.
Okay. I'll start. So, as we all know, the British are the very best at satire and have always been.
Yes.
So, I'm going to recommend two satire shows that everybody should watch because they're hilarious. Mm. Neither of them are particularly new, so this may be old news, but in case anybody doesn't know, the first one being Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Yes.
I haven't
Which has just started again on its second series.
Not a British show.
It's okay. It's not a British show. It's an HBO production.
Has that just started up again?
Yeah, it's just started again for season two. In fact, I think it's on about now actually on the Comedy Channel.
Nice.
So definitely watch that. John Oliver from the Bugle fame.
Yeah. I love how
very funny guy
from the Daily Show fame.
The Daily Show as well. Yeah,
and I love how he's just kind of taken the whole
Daily
talk
show
host thing as his own thing.
Absolutely. And there was a lot of you know, whether or not he was just going to basically be doing what Jon Stewart does, you know, with a British accent. But it is, and I love the in-depth.
Yeah.
Like, he'll go on for, like, 20 minutes on one topic and just get into it. And it's not about being funny. It's about, you know,
and if
getting
anything,
to the bottom of it.
If it's, anything, it's more political than The Daily Show.
Oh, I would say so.
Yeah.
And I love it. I think it was my favorite TV show of last year.
It was unmissable for me.
And you can watch the main segments
on YouTube
for free.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
That's pretty cool as well. But the whole show is worth watching.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The second recommendation is from another great English satiricist, and that's Charlie Brooker's Weekly Wipe, which again has just started up again for a new season.
So it's two shows I haven't seen.
That's a BBC production. I'm not sure it's actually aired out here, so you may have to
We won't be able to watch it then.
May have to find other means, but Weekly Wipe with Charlie Brooker. If anything, it's probably a bit more cutting and, you know, scathing than John Oliver. And it's probably a bit more comedy as well, whereas you know, it's
John Oliver does get a bit serious,
but obviously, you know, Charlie Brooker's a legend of the small screen. Some of the stuff he's done, he was one of the creators of Black Mirror. If you've seen that,
I have to say that
amongst other things, he's been involved in a number of other good comedy shows as well. So, Weekly Wipe and Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Great,
cool.
Adrian, you're on.
So, I am gonna recommend a show about the most terrible people in the world.
It's called Sessionable, right? Is that...
Okay, sorry. Is a show about the second most terrible people in the world.
Is it Brewdogs?
It's a TV show. Wow.
Too soon.
Wow. No, it's a TV show called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Brilliant.
And it's about this group of friends that start a bar and just make the worst decisions in the world. And good thing about it is they never come in the winning side of anything they do. So they're like terrible people who never win.
Yeah.
And it's just so funny. It's just the funniest, like, it's one of the funniest shows I've seen in recent times. I've just started watching it and
Have you gotten to season two yet?
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm close.
That's like when Danny DeVito comes in.
I've heard about it. But especially if you work in a bar, it's like
appreciate.
You have to
so
watch
much
this.
More.
You have to watch this.
Yeah. Nice. All right,
Liam. I'm gonna go a bit different. I just started playing Far Cry 4.
Cool.
On PlayStation. It's fucking legit.
Sweet. I think did I already recommend it?
I'm pretty sure you did.
Did you?
I'm pretty sure you
did. Crossing swords.
I think you did, yeah.
It's all right.
Yeah.
It's all right. And mine is, it's still kind of beer themed, but I stumbled upon another beer podcast called Strange Brews. It's a production of WBEZ Chicago, who I think...
they
do Radio
American
Lab.
Radio Lab's WMIC.
Okay, and then they help with
this. So WBEZ is This American Life. Yeah. And Serial.
Yeah, and Serial.
Yeah.
And so this podcast, Strange Brews, it's all about the Chicago beer scene. It's very localized to Chicago. but they also talk about just US beer in general, I guess. And the most recent episode is a bit of a special episode. It's a bit off topic for most of their episodes, but it's a serial style investigation into a crime, basically, in the beer world to do with beer trading. So it explores beer trading, and there was a big scam that happened, I think, a year or two ago concerning Pappy Van Winkle barrel-aged Assassin Imperial Stout. Someone was buying bottles from the brewery, drinking them, and then filling them back up with different Imperial Stouts and trading them for really good beer. And so they investigate that. They talk to a lot of people in the community and figure out what happened and then look at how the community reacted to it. And it's if you like Serial and if you like Sessionable, I think it's like that's the Venn diagram. It's that's like the beer version of Serial. That one, it's not going to, they're not going to do more of them because it's a kind of one and done thing. Off, yeah. But the actual podcast proper is really good as well.
Okay.
The two hosts, super knowledgeable, really interesting, topics, really good to talk to, to listen to, sorry. I'm sure I'd love to talk to them as well. But, super high production quality, as you'd expect.
I haven't listened to any of the other episodes, but I listened to that one.
And it was good.
Like, it was pretty fun. It was really interesting.
Especially because I don't do much trading.
I don't do any trading.
But I just found it really interesting, that corner of the community that, So that's my non-beer.
Cool. Should we get a beers?
Sure, Brad.
Okay.
While I think of one. But...
Yeah. Again, nothing particularly new, but one that I felt was worth mentioning. Last weekend, the Empire Hotel in Annandale had a beer club, which was... 6 beers from Hop Dog Beer Works.
Ah, cool.
Obviously, they've been around on the scene for a while now.
Was there anyone from Hop Dog there? Or?
Yeah, Tim came up and was there for a couple of hours. Nice. It was a good friendly atmosphere. Everyone seemed to enjoy it. But crucially, the beers were all on absolutely top form.
Great.
And I'm sure they won't necessarily mind me saying that they've not always been bastions of consistency in the past. And
It seems to be sometimes. I mean, yeah.
Sometimes since they got their new system in, it's been a lot better.
Absolutely, and that's what I'm saying. And this goes for other breweries in general as well. Don't write off a brewery from your first experience necessarily. Return to these breweries, to these beers, and try them again. But in particular, if you see Hop Dog, then go for it. Like I say, there were 6 beers on Saturday. Every single one of them was absolutely fantastic. I don't know whether assistant brewer Matt McMahon has got anything to do with that. I'm sure he'd like to think he does.
Yeah,
but he'll say he does.
I'm sure he thinks he does. But
he doesn't listen to this.
It was a great experience, and also the Empire Hotel itself is a wonderful place to hang out on a Saturday afternoon / evening.
Cool.
Their lounge bar is really relaxed and just a really cool place to be. So
need to
check it out.
The beers?
I had their Captain Prickleberry for the first time, which I thought was pretty decent.
Our producer didn't want that.
Horns Up was tasting as good as I've ever had it.
Oh, yum.
They had the Children of Darkness as well, which was tasting really, really good as well. Like I say, I couldn't pick a bad one between out of the 6. So go for it.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, I had that Prickleberry over in Spinning Goats and.
I actually had the Lawnmower for the first time as well, and I thought that was really good too. So
that's a solid summer beer. I am going to recommend a UK beer, actually.
Okay.
From Magic Rock.
Yeah.
It's actually not even a beer, it's a Radler.
I was thinking about recommending this one.
It's called the Pithhead. And I don't know what it is about the beer, but I think it's just like it's that kind of season for it.
Mm.
And the first time I had it, it was like a 30-degree day at Bitterview, and I was like, yes, this is exactly what I want. It's like juice and beer.
I tried it the first time it was on, and
it was
delicious. I really
liked very, it. Very juicy. Very, very citrusy,
how
lemony lime.
How compared to like the 6-point rad or something like that?
The rad is obviously all orange, right?
Yeah, it's
whereas this was lemon and lime, but it was really kind of...
The rad had
some
grapefruit in it, right?
It tasted like it.
So this is lemon lime.
This was lemon and lime based.
For me, the rad's closer to like a juice with a bit of beer in it, whereas this is a lot more of a beer with juice in it.
Right.
It took me back a little bit, and this is probably not doing the beer justice at all, but it took me back a little bit to my student days where lager was the only thing available, and to try and make it palatable, you'd get a shot of lime cordial in there.
Snake bite it or something, yeah.
And it was just really refreshing, and yeah. Just like Adrian said, perfect for a summer's day.
Yeah. Beautiful. Well, I, as I normally do, have been frequenting the Flodge quite often, enjoying the tap selection. So they had, for Australia Day, an Inner West tap takeover.
Cool.
Which was some really awesome beers, such as like they had the Batch Watermelon, which is their watermelon wheat beer, which I really enjoyed. They had like the Stupid Sexy.
The two that I was thinking of recommending. You took one and then you took the other one.
Well, that's not even a recommendation. Okay, I'm just saying that was there.
That's a sub recommendation.
They had like the Stupid Sexy Flanders from Young Henry's, which is like their sort of Rodenbach clone.
Yep.
But the beer, which I really enjoyed and had multiple jugs of, was the Grifter Southern Lord, which is their ex.
Multiple jugs, did you say?
Yeah. We ain't here to fuck around. Like, yeah. If you finish work and like at 8 o'clock and the bar closes at 11, you're not, you know, you're going hard. Yeah. But Adrian knows, he gets it. Yeah. So Grifter Southern Lord. I think it's still on top of the Flodge. I'm sure it's going to be around other places as well. If you see it, fucking grab it. Awesome. Yeah.
They, and just a word on Grifter, they just seem to be getting better and better all the time. I remember when they first started up, it wasn't long after I'd arrived in Australia, and
it was their Edward Pale Ale. Which was not, it was always nice, but it wasn't, you know.
It wasn't amazing.
I wouldn't go like out of my way to have it.
But each release just seems to be getting better and better.
I think for me, the first time I had Big Sur, I was just
I was going to say, like, their hoppier styles definitely are really on point. I think in general they're on point, but yeah.
Their dark stuff as well. I really love the Omen.
My favourite is their Omen.
Yeah, the Omen oatmeal stout.
And just a word on the Inner West scene in general. I mean, it really, really is just becoming the place to be.
Oh, the fact that on Australia there was two or three different pubs doing Inner West tap takeovers.
You didn't even mention Pixel or Shenanigans in New Orleans.
They were all there. They were all amazing. Wrong Turn on tap, legit. 480p on tap. Yeah. It's coming out in bottles as well.
Oh, Pixel.
So I think it's out in tap now. Cool. Yeah. We'll see that around.
Excellent. That's really cool.
Tastes great in the bottle as well. Yeah. So yeah,
great place to be.
All right.
Yeah.
I've actually thought of a unique recommendation. So,
go through the rest of Taplist and Flodge first to see if it's.
It's not from the Inner West, so it's from quite a way away from that. Mm. So, as much as I did love the Batch Watermelon Summer Ale, that is delicious. I'm going to recommend the beer I had last night in the bottle. It's called the Neither IPA, and it's a collaboration between Siren, I think they're the main brewery.
Yep.
As well as Cigar City and Grassroots.
Wow.
And it is...
Where's Grassroots from? Grassroots?
That's a good question. Because I've had a collaboration that they did with Mikola. The Wheat is the New Hops, which was Grassroots Club. Cool.
Yeah.
Which is really tasty. So I'll look up where they're from, but that beer was just... And it's a bottle of an IPA, you know, having it not from Australia. Oh, it was an Imperial IPA. Yeah, so, yeah. 9% or around there. You know, huge hoppy IPA. And it was tasting fucking good, and it was tasting fresh. It wasn't tasting super stale, and I was pretty impressed with that.
Yeah, cool.
And Siren, everything I've had from them is really pretty good. Can probably tell us more about them, Brad. But
They were the highlight of my trip back to the UK over Christmas time. You know,
so is that something that only just popped up on the radar?
Certainly, in the time that I'd been away from the country, I think they probably cropped up pretty soon after I'd left, and then very quickly got to the sort of top.
That's like Maidenhead sort of area, is that right?
Ooh, no, you're asking. I'm not entirely sure, I think West Londonish type area is right. Yeah, but yeah, I had a few beers from them. I had one that was a collaboration with Tool, which was fantastic as well.
Mm-hmm. Their Berliner Weiss is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, they just seemed everything they seem to touch at the moment turns to gold. Yeah, yeah. I hope we can get more of their stuff out here.
So, Brad, Brad Liam, have either of you had this beer that Tom's talking about?
No.
I watched Tom drink the beer last night.
Me neither.
I wasn't sharing, sorry.
I wasn't asking either. So
producers has come over. Grassroots is part of Hill Farmstead.
Oh, wow.
So from Vermont, I think.
Wow, that's like...
Yeah, that's serious. Massive cred. Yeah.
I mean, if they're out there in the, you know, in Europe doing Brews of Siren and Mikler and stuff like that,
Yeah, exactly.
Gotta be doing something right.
So you'll be able to find that in a few bottle shops. And, cool. Yeah. So I think that brings us to the end of the show, guys.
Cool. Good to catch up, Tom. Glad you enjoyed your trip.
I did, yeah. And hopefully we'll do a few more episodes before I go away for good. Well, for the year.
Oh yeah, we got a pretty cool guest.
We got some. We got a few. Yeah,
there's a couple. We got a couple good ones.
So stay tuned. And
we'll work Tom before he leaves. Yeah, flog the rest out of him.
Maybe we'll have you as a special guest.